They have to get the distribution of the money right, or it'll fuck it.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, you're already fucking recording.
Well, yeah, I thought I'd start with a little some sing us, song.
Some of us are trying to tweet out Clash of the Correspondents.
COTC. Good Hello, one. Patrons. James' birthday today. I didn't know until this morning.
What do you mean you didn't know?
Until this morning. I didn't know it was your birthday.
At least you knew. My wife messaged me about 20 minutes after I left the house. Oh, I didn't say yeah, I've got one over you for the rest of the day.
She saw my tweet, maybe.
yeah, but now she's seen you say about shit. Buying kebab. She's like,
I don't need to cook tonight.
The fucking bitch.
Oh, life is good. It's Tuesday. And today is a money in football conversation, James, and it's about the EFL because we said that we were going to do some EFL-based content. The World Cup has kind of sort of taken over quite a bit, and the topic of discussion is the plans that the EFL are talking about, Championship, League One, League Two, to start streaming 3 p.m. on a Saturday games that are currently blackout, which is to protect attendances
and participation in football.
Okay, and participation.
That's the original reason the rules were brought in.
Even though Sunday league's on a Sunday.
You get Saturday league football.
Yeah, I do. My
argument on that has been for a long time, right? So you show a game at 12:30 p.m. You think no one's kicking off at 2 p.m. on a Saturday.
It's rules and regulations from a bygone era, but now I think it's held for quite a while, the blackout.
It's been a rule since, I think, 1960.
So we're talking about 60 years plus that games on a Saturday at 3 p.m, specifically 3 p.m. on a Saturday, cannot be televised. But we're not far off it being abolished. And if it does go in the EFL, then it won't be long before it happens in the Premier League as well. When they smell the money.
Oh, well, that's the inevitable. And I think one of the problems of this is, are the EFL considering that obviously the Premier League will follow suit? The reason Premier League football primarily, really, is not shown between 2:45 p.m. and 5:15 p.m. in the UK is to protect the tendencies at lower leagues. The problem is, essentially, obviously, so many EFL clubs, as we've covered so much, were impacted so badly by COVID. Mm-hmm. And there are further things impacting now in terms of like cost of living crisis, where we've seen, particularly going into the winter months, a lot of EFL clubs considering moving games to like 1 p.m. so they don't have to use floodlights costs and things like that, right? It really is that hard for those who are, let's say, the smaller clubs down in League One and League Two, for example. But obviously during COVID there was this blackout period, and they've seen what the pie is, right? In terms of what they
blackout
can have
period
by streaming the games.
What you mean is they allowed the streaming.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Which obviously is not allowed now, but you're getting so many games getting moved to allow this possibility to happen, for example. And it's actually, interestingly, just this weekend, just gone, there were two Championship games streamed at 3 o'clock on Saturday. One was, I mean, Stoke and Cardiff, and there was another game, forgive me, Huddersfield's trip to Sheffield United. Those two games were streamed at 3 o'clock on Saturday, interestingly.
As a trial?
Well, we think so, potentially, yeah. But other games were moved earlier in the day to kind of avoid the clashing with England. The excuse to getting around to streaming these two games was, oh, it's going to be quite close to when England play on Saturday night and stuff. But it's like,
so
it's,
people won't want to go to the game?
The big fear about the streaming, I guess, is that obviously attendances will lower. And the bigger caveat in terms of fear for EFL fans is probably, it's not that they can stream each other's games. It's what happens when the Premier League start going at 3 o'clock, because this is inevitable that if the EFL do it, the Premier League have got every leg up to say, well, you're doing it now. How bothered are you about your own attendances? We're going to do it too.
Sure. I think that it's a bit different though, because a Premier League, someone who's going to a Premier League game wouldn't have maybe necessarily attended a Championship or League One or League Two game. They're going to go to watch the team that they support at a Premier League game. Someone that might stream a 3 p.m. game, Huddersfield, Sheffield United, but Manchester City versus Arsenal is on, might decide that they want to watch that instead and not bother paying to stream the Championship game. You can, it's much easier to choose to watch a different game than it is to go and visit a different club or attend a different football match. That's the challenge here, in terms of they will start to monopolize the viewing figures, the Premier League will, if they start streaming some of their 3 p.m. games or all of their 3 p.m. games.
Huddersfield versus Sheffield United, let's use this as an example, because it just happened. Huddersfield versus Sheffield United being streamed at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Does anybody pay £10? It's general cost. Does anybody pay that who's not a Huddersfield or a Sheffield United fan?
No. Maybe 3 to 5% of the viewers, maybe.
Do you think even that high?
No, I'm trying to be generous there with the number, but
Let's use it in comparison.
Or someone.
If Leicester were playing Everton at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, would you pay £10 for that?
Nope.
No, neither would I. So I'm certainly not going to pay £10 to watch Huddersfield versus Sheffield United. If it's part of a subscription built in that
I have,
no other football on, yeah, great, it's on in the background, whatever. At the same time, it's only Huddersfield, Sheffield United fans that would pay for that service. Would they, if, I think Leicester Everton is probably like a better example, or let's use, say, Man City versus Leicester, because City Arsenal is probably not going to be in the 3 o'clock slot.
Yeah, sure.
But, no, the reason I say that is, even if the Premier Leagues do go to 3 o'clock, that to get exposure for the game, I'm not going to put it at 3 o'clock. It's still going to be a 12:30 or 5:30. Yeah. So they can maximise viewing coverage.
Yeah. Understood.
Not try and compete with EFL
fans. But suddenly
EFL
if they
fans.
Can start streaming the 3 o'clock games, maybe there's not the pressure to move.
Is a Huddersfield games. Or Sheffield United fan going to pay £10 to watch Leicester versus Man City?
Over Huddersfield, Sheffield United?
Yeah.
No.
No, not. The more the case here and issue and concern is, are fans that would perhaps go to the game now not going to go? That's more the point. Because it's obviously revenue for the club still, but presumably match ticket will be more than £10.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a match ticket now in League Two, I don't think, for £10. I'd be very surprised, unless it's maybe a midweek fixture or something. You see Championship fixtures. Mm. I've had it thrown at me when, you know, I like to post my ticket. Oh, £30, only £30. Yeah, that's the cost for a away Premier League
ticket.
But then someone will treat me and go, I'm going to like Charlton v Reading today and it's £35. And I'm like, whoa.
It's expensive.
Sorry about that.
Yep.
So the cost of the ticket is obviously less in terms of stream. Also, you're losing out on all the other bits that go with going to football, right? How many people actually just go through the turnstile, turn around and fuck off afterwards?
No,
there's the food, there's the drink, there's the programme, there's the merchandise, etc., etc. So someone mentioned Andy Holt, didn't they? One of the pods last week, the Accrington Stanley chairman, who he reckons that he could potentially lose out on sort of around about £35,000.
Per game.
Mm.
From this.
Mm.
Question is, how many people will stream it?
Well, so the next part of the problem in terms of the streaming, why clubs like him, so Accrington have done incredibly well over the last few years. They're a small club, right? In a big fish pond.
Yep.
So, I mean, you only have to look at League One at the moment. You got teams in there like Ipswich, Bolton, Portsmouth.
Middlesbrough
Championship.
Oh, sorry, you were talking about League One.
League One's got a real disparity between there's like six or seven really big clubs. There's kind of like half the teams who should be around about that level. And then you've got kind of a group of about six, seven clubs who actually they're punching above their weight to even be in League One. They've got teams in non-league football will be getting higher attendances than, say, them in League One. One of the real concerns with the streaming and what's been happening with iFollow is that the home team doesn't keep the gate receipts from the streaming. So an example would be, let's say Accrington play at home to Bolton. All the Bolton fans who pay it for it through Bolton, the money goes to Bolton.
Right.
It doesn't go to the home team, doesn't go to Accrington. So Accrington are obviously going to sell less than what Bolton would sell, right? Just sounds complete logic. They've got a bigger fan base. That's not right, is it?
No,
that's
but
part of his argument.
They put less away fans in, so
No, but like
the percentage of the fans is fewer in the away end generally. Not always, but generally.
No, I get that, but and it's interesting. I was thinking this on the way in this morning about when we go away from home, we get a fucking admin charge, don't you? They'll say it's for post and package, whatever. And I was thinking about this and saying, when I go to an away game, Tottenham don't get fuck all out of it. Got nothing, basically. It's not like they're... It doesn't work in the sense, say, I'm going to Brentford. I don't buy the tickets off Brentford for £20.
And sell them to...
And then sell them to... Yeah, it's all going towards the home club, right? It's their receipt and stuff. So the only way Tottenham make a little bit of cut out of it is that, isn't it? You've got to pay for people to do the ticket organising, etc. What a lot of the time what it is rather than the P&P and stuff. No, they're not making money. They're covering money, the cost, if you will. Yeah. And it's the first time it ever thought to me, they're covering the cost. So in this circumstance with Accrington and Bolton, okay, sure, if 10,000, then it's probably a very large number, 10,000 Bolton fans decided to pay the £10. Now, those 10,000 Bolton fans aren't all getting into the ground because the ground doesn't hold enough.
No.
So should Accrington get all of that?
You should get some of it, maybe.
I think the point is they shouldn't get none of it.
Match day attendance, I was going to say match day attendance is a little bit of a leveler in terms of income. But obviously the bigger clubs have bigger stadiums so they can hold more people, more concessions and more food and drink and all of that kind of thing. So they do make more money from match day, but I don't think it's as disproportionate as maybe TV money can get to. Just trying to think whether or not it's fair. Like, some clubs have a bigger fan base than others, and should you financially be advantaged by having a bigger fan base? So Manchester United would probably sell more streams of their game than Manchester City would of their game. So Manchester United will make more money from a game than Manchester City would, all things being equal, because they've got a bigger fan base. The disparity might not be that big in the Premier League, but Bolton versus Accrington Stanley will be a big difference in terms of fan base. So the amount of money you earn is suddenly very disproportionate at that level. I'm not sure if that feels a little bit unfair, but I don't know if it's the disparity is similar to what Bolton would make at the Reebok or whatever it's called these days versus what Accrington can make at theirs. If it's comparable, then it's understandable because the Reebok holds shitloads more people than Accrington's stadium. So is that disparity comparable? We don't know, right? And obviously loads of different clubs. It's not like all two clubs are the same. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. Should you make more money because you have more fans?
No, not necessarily, I don't think. One of the things in FA Cup games is very much protected. Obviously, you get larger away allocations.
Yeah.
But I think is it 45% of the gate receipts go to the away team?
Away team.
Which is like, say, this is why you often see this about when people talk about scrapping FA Cup replays, right? It's like, if you can get that big away day at White Hart Lane or Old Trafford or London Stadium or whatever... Fucking hell, don't you? Yeah, you don't even need the TV money. Although I think we did look, there was an example we looked at with someone who drew with Man City. I think it was Swindon played Man City last year, and I looked into whether it was better financially for Swindon to have the replay or go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically the same.
Right.
In terms of prize money for going through and then having another game or actually just getting the gate receipts of playing at a three quarters for Etihad, for example. So there's a real debate at the moment in terms of how they're going to level this out. Now, this is being put to tender from 2024-25 seasons. It's not going to come immediately. But the closing date for proposals to be submitted was the day England played Iran. So we probably are going to hear about this quite soon. We've seen Amazon have got involved in the next tender for Champions League rights. I think Apple have paid for every MLS game over the next 10 years. So these giants are getting involved
and they are
now.
Giants.
Yeah. They want a piece of the pie now. The EFL's a little bit conflicted, and I know a lot of people obviously hate Sky and stuff, but Sky has put a lot of money into the Premier League, obviously, but also the EFL. And there's a recurring theme looking around at sort of owners and chairmen saying, don't particularly really necessarily want to cut the deal with Sky. Sky has been quite good for the EFL. Remember, Sky picked up the EFL coverage when ITV Digital collapsed in, I want to say, 2002, and helped get the football pyramid kind of back on its feet when it was in a really, really bad place where a lot of clubs had obviously relied on that ITV Digital money. Sky stepped in. But they all see now, because of what happened during the COVID period, how easy it is to make money beyond just the match day. Why not have both? That's it, isn't it? It's about the pie. There's a lot of accusations in terms of the Premier League, quite correctly, you know, having your cake and eating it. But why shouldn't EFL clubs, if they can, make money on the gate and via their own platforms?
Yep.
Andy Holt hates this iFollow stuff. The reason he hates it is he wants it all to be sold essentially by himself, if you will, but for Accrington Stanley. Quite how then he wants the money from Bolton if they sell the packages is very much up for debate. So we think there's every chance a tech giant is potentially going to come in and buy the rights for some ridiculous number of games, 1,800 games or something, which obviously includes the EFL trophy. It would include probably the Carabao Cup as well. And that's quite an interesting selling point for buyers, because you are then getting games with, you're getting the Carabao Cup final, you're getting the Championship playoff finals and stuff like that as well. So it's not just about domestic league football. Do you think if this happens that attendances will suffer? Because interestingly, when TV first started becoming a conversation in the 1960s and this rule came about, the average attendances across the four divisions in England was 16,000. Obviously going to be higher in the top division, the old Division 1 to Division 4, but across 16,000 average attendance. That dipped. You remember we did the pod on the TV blackout in 1985 where there was no coverage? So in 1987, that dipped to 8,000 as an average. Back to 2019, it's gone back to 16,000 as an average. Now, there is a small caveat in that, in the sense that in the 90s, Old Trafford was the biggest and held like 44,000. Now you've got Old Trafford 75,000 and stuff. So you do have that little influence, and there's that caveat.
Inflation, stadium capacity, inflation.
There is nothing, no analytical study or anything that can prove that TV coverage impacts gate receipts in lower league football. You'll get certain circumstances where I think it's fair to say midweek games will generally have a lower attendance than a weekend game. There's a number of reasons for that. People's work-life conditions, potentially temperature, late at night, what time you're going to get home. The Macclesfield chairman, they had their takeover, they obviously went bust. He reckoned if they played the same night that Man City played in the Champions League, because they're not far away from each other, as we know, that they'd probably lose 400 on the gate. 400 times, let's say, 15 quid. What's the maths on that, Suj?
Six grand.
Yeah. But that's a lot at that level in terms of what you could lose.
I'm all for playing the other side of the debate. What's to say that streaming these games won't increase attendance at matches?
How would that happen?
So let's take Accrington Stanley. How many do they get at a game?
Oh, probably about 3,000 or so average.
And how many fans in the local area do you think there are of Accrington Stanley?
I think the population of the town is around about 25 or 30,000.
Let's just say there's 10,000 fans and 3,000 are going to the game. There's 7,000 that might call themselves a loose Accrington Stanley fan, might have supported them when they were a kid, or for whatever circumstances decided they don't want to go. They don't watch their team. They don't ever get to see them play. They maybe follow the results and have a chat with a geezer down the pub about it. Might start streaming a game every now and then, get the bug back and think, you know what, I might go and take my son to a game or daughter to a game, or might go back. For every team, there are so many times I see at West Ham, particularly cup games, because the season ticket holders around me are mainly all season ticket holders, and you know who are the tourists for the day, but they're not tourists, they're West Ham fans who have got the bug to want to come and see the game. Now, when we're doing well, obviously we were on TV a lot and the European games were all on TV a lot. Suddenly you see a lot of people who want to get in and get tickets and get to the games, right? The exposure that the streaming might give to the casual fans might encourage a few that, you know what, might re-engage with wanting to go, not to every game or become season ticket holders, but the odd game when teams are doing well. I think that happens quite a bit. It's exposure to that whole pool of fans. It's different for West Ham and Spurs and what have you. Like, we can dodgy stream some of our games if we ever really needed to. I should dodgy stream all of them.
Well, like, because of iFollow, you can get some dodgy streams of EFL games as well, by the way.
But, like, take the Blackburn game, the Carabao Cup. Like, there wasn't a stream anywhere because it wasn't televised at all, that one. Whereas with some of the League One and League Two, majority of the time, you're not going to get a dodgy stream of them. So I think there's something to be said that allowing the streaming of the games will engage a fan base if the clubs are allowed to use it well and market it well to re-engage people to want to then think, you know what, I will come to a game that I haven't been to for a while. It might not encourage people to become season ticket holders, but it might re-engage a decent chunk of the fan base.
It might, but it might not. I think
the detriment to the fans that go will be a percentage, right? It'll be relative to the number of fans that go to overall. But I think, you know what? There's so many cases where you can argue, like, that there are fans of the football club, right? What would happen? Say your dad, God willing, nothing ever happens to him. He's been going for how long, right? So it's
fucking
harder.
Hell, just don't like where this
as
is going.
As he gets older, it gets harder, right? Say he can't go to the games. It's too much hard work physically. Like, my mate John used to take his dad to West Ham year in, and he wasn't even a diehard West Ham fan. He was a football fan. John was a West Ham fan, and he used to go with his dad. His dad was 80 in a wheelchair, fucking colostomy bag. When we used to take him, I'd take him in a wheelchair, go through that section. He'd need a piss every 20 minutes. It was a nightmare, but he wanted to go, right? And then you say, right, well, you're physically incapable of going. You're physically capable of watching the games. That whole fan base is suddenly ruled out because of physical incapacity to be able to go to the game. You don't want them to stop being fans or wanting to go to the games. For some of these guys, they've been going for years and years. Like, it'd feel awful if you couldn't go to the game. Fine. It'd feel even more awful if you can't then watch it as well. You're opening yourself up to parts of the audience that are different.
Can I point out that
women,
my dad will die in that chair in that ground? You probably, know that.
Probably. Because Spurs will fucking finish him off.
I can't believe they haven't yet.
Oh, mate. There are growth in women's football, girls and all that kind of stuff, who might not feel comfortable in the stands. My boys now find it amusing when they hear fucking swearing and all this bad language and stuff. Because it's only in the last year that they've actually, it's clocked what a swear word is. And previously, they'd hear them, but they'd be like in one ear, out the other, and they were oblivious. Now they hear them and they're like, you swore, mate.
Are you sure it wasn't one of them that DM'd me and said their mum wouldn't let them have my NPL Patreon?
Their mum definitely wouldn't let us have to Patreon. So you're like, there might be women and girls who feel uncomfortable, or even, boy, I'm not being sexist here, but people that feel uncomfortable going to the grounds because of the effing and blinding, who happily watch it on TV. And you're opening yourself up to certain areas of the market that don't want to go to the game for whatever reason. There are people that have other commitments, right?
Location as well, yeah. Right? People move more, right?
But someone who hasn't been to a game for years and kind of just ruled it out of their lives, and suddenly you've watched a few on the stream and you think, you know what, I want to go and see them. I think you'll find that there'll be a percentage of people that won't go, sure, 10 to 15% maybe, but you might open yourself up to the opposite, where there's people that suddenly might start wanting to go to the odd game here or there and keep it flat. If my honest opinion is that the effect overall on attendances will be a max of 10%, maybe 15% that won't go. The money that they'll make back on streaming will easily cover it, and you'll actually start seeing new fans come into certain grounds and certain games. The thing is here, it's so club dependent.
Yes, very much so. Do you know how many people in England apparently support an EFL club.
So there's, what, 70...
Call it 70 million.
Clubs. 70 clubs.
Call it 72 clubs. Yeah. Call it 70 million population.
70 clubs. I'm going to go 4 million.
It's about three times that.
12 million people.
And more. It might even be nearer four.
Wow.
You got to think there's some clubs. You take like a Sunderland.
Birmingham City or something.
I wouldn't put Birmingham, but like
it's a big city. Birmingham, they must have a decent fan base in terms of volume.
Second team in the second city.
Okay.
I would. West Brom and Wolves are better supported clubs than Birmingham comfortably. And there'd be other teams. Leicester, Forest is not a million miles. They're all better supported than a Birmingham, for example.
Okay.
You take a Sunderland in
where the fan base is in the hundreds of thousands, not tens of thousands.
You take a Sunderland though. Or even like a team that's not even been in a prem, like a Plymouth, right? So Plymouth reckon they made like about 500,000 from streaming during that COVID season and that. Because they're never in the limelight. But think where they are geographically, Plymouth and stuff, right? Well, they got on their doorstep, Exeter, Torquay and not a lot else, right?
Yeah.
Got rivalries with like the Bristol clubs and stuff.
I think the clubs should be given a certain amount of say in what happens to the streaming of their home games.
But it will come to a vote. This is the problem. It will just become hand up. And the hands up in terms of the making the money is what will win here.
Yeah, I mean...
The Accringtons aren't going to win on the vote.
What, if they don't want streaming, you mean?
No.
Streaming's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Streaming is inevitable.
How the revenue split...
That's what I'm talking about.
And what they are allowed to do. Because if they can use it as a marketing tool to grow their fan base... And to get people
if you've got Sheffield Wednesday chairman and Accrington chairman in the same way, you go vote and you say, right, well, we're going to do it this way. Do you want to split, you know, how it goes to home fans, whatever, or do you just want your fan base through your subscription, you get all the money? What's the Sheffield Wednesday? Sheffield Wednesday owner's going to look at it and go, we'll fucking outpunch 95% in here. Yeah, we'll have it. Mm. The Accrington guy ain't going to punch a single person, basically.
Yeah.
So it's the big voices that will probably win there because people just see the gold, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. This is all going to be dictated by money. I'm thinking it's inevitable that it's going to happen, streaming at 3 o'clock games. It's going to go within the next 3 to 4 years.
This is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is definitely going to happen. I think the thing is, everyone's different, right? You take Sam, who come on the pod with me, right? And I've no doubt Sam will be listening to this. You put whatever you like in place. I'm fairly certain that if you offered Sam the opportunity, right, he went to Gateshead, I think, last week from fucking Aldershot, set off at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, go and see the stadium in the cold with an athletics track. I would bet if I said to Sam, you can sit indoors and watch that for a tenner, I reckon he'd still go.
Yeah, quite possibly. Sam, you now, can answer in the comments.
Now, the next person will say, fuck that for a game of soldiers. I'm going to sit in the warm and pay it for a tenner. So you are going to clearly get a split with fans. I think my big concern isn't now. My big concern for the EFL is in 20 years, 30 years, because I just foresee it getting harder and harder for the kind of the family generation of people keep supporting Luton, for example, right? I mean, Luton's a bad example because they're doing well in the Championship. Let's go back to Accrington. But if you've got family tradition of Accrington, and you've got all them teams on your doorstep, never mind even the City and the Manchester United, you've got that, the Blackburns, the Boltons, the Burnleys, like that family tradition is what keeps, you either live there or it's family tradition, right? You don't live in London, I'm going to choose to support Accrington Stanley. You might live in London and choose to support Manchester City or Manchester United, for example. And I just see that getting worse and worse over time to a point that it does all become about TV. Plus, people's habits are changing. They are definitely changing with the younger people are quite happy to just sit and watch a game on a laptop. For me, that is the last resort in the world, is watching a game on laptop through fear that I'm going to break a computer. Mm. So that's not a way to watch a game of football for me, but that's because I'd jump out of my seat with a laptop in my lap or something. But for many other people, that's just the way of life now and the way it's going. And I think, although there's nothing statistically that says now that this will impact stadium attendances, I think in the longer run it might, once you get the Premier League doing it as well. Yeah, I think down the line you've got a problem towards what the established order of what our pyramid is. Because Championship, right? Perfect example. And there's a lot of big clubs in the Championship, all yo-yo. And perhaps those, you know, your Norwiches and stuff are yo-yo. It's not such a big deal and stuff. If you take an example like a Preston, right? It's not a huge club. It's got good history, decent support. Another one in that northwest catchment area that's really, really difficult. Can't get in the Prem. At what point down the road does the attendances start dwindling? Because the support in the Championship is phenomenal, right? Fourth best followed league in the world. And you have to wonder in reflection, until we do it, we're not going to really know what the drain is on a Preston or a Blackburn or a Burnley. Those teams in that catchment area, are those clubs? I take like a Plymouth, right? Because of where they are location-wise, I imagine that keeping local people, supporting the team, family tradition, etc. I could actually see that being a football club that really grows over the next 10, 20 years or so. For those in the Northwest, the competition you're competing with is fierce. You barely go two stops on the Pennines train without going from one football club to another. There's so many there and that. And I think eventually it probably will hit and bite. We care more about how we perceive our pyramid than what other leagues do, because we just don't maintain the attendances in the same way. Probably Bundesliga's second division is probably the closest. What they do is all the games are available. They have kickoff times where their second division doesn't clash with the top division. So they have a different model. There's only three countries that actually have this blackout in place. England, Scotland. You'll never guess the last one unless you know.
Liechtenstein.
No, you're close. Montenegro.
Fair play.
Just randomly. I don't know why. But Article 48. It's essentially, it's a rule that was put in 50, 60 years ago that allowed football associations to put in a blackout period of their choosing. England, Scotland and now Montenegro are the only three nations that adhere to it. I think the bigger problem further down the line is as soon as the EFL open their book, the Premier League are going to go, thank you very much. Now, the selfish one in me, who couldn't get a ticket to Bournemouth the other week and had to nick your fire stick, is selfishly is like, yeah, me, I'm covered now. I'm going to see Tottenham. No problem. And I guess that'll be an interesting aspect for many people who support EFL clubs who perhaps don't travel to away games and now potentially going to get the blessing to see their club every week, which is great. But in terms of gate and what clubs make, I'm not as convinced as you that it'll
level out. Yeah, maybe longer term.
I think in the short term, it'll boom. And I think they'll look at it over a five-year period or something. This is working. I think in the longer term, there's a danger. But no one look at Barcelona, right? Who's thinking long term? You're thinking it's a rat race, right? And you've got to stay in competition with your competitors as best you can. I think there is a danger that we'd sit here in 20 years and we'd go, fucking hell, the attendances have really gone down. That's the bit that scares me a bit. I don't think there'd be a major impact.
I think there'll be different things that will impact football and attendances between now and then that we probably haven't even thought about that will even exist.
And by the way,
I'm going to give you like a really random example would be like virtual reality, right? Imagine if you can watch a game on goggles and feel like you're in the stadium all of a sudden. Yep. It's going to change things massively. And the money that Facebook and Meta are sticking into this Oculus and that kind of thing, like it's in their interest to maybe buy the rights to push their virtual reality and augmented reality stuff. So everything will change and things will evolve.
It's danger enough for me having a laptop, you know, about virtual reality.
But some goggles on something. On Friday, James, you've got some EFL guests for a round table. I think a good starting point might well be, where do you see the danger to EFL in 20 years from now? Like, are you fearful of it in the future?
Yeah, I want to get their opinions. And we've got some fans that are going to come on who are at a different stage. So I think Jamie's going to join us, Jamie Roberts, who obviously...
Stoke.
I'm really glad that hopefully he's going to come on. He obviously supports Stoke. But the lovely thing with Jamie is obviously... was in the Premier League only a few years ago. So he sees both sides of it. And I know Jamie's become quite disillusioned with a lot of modern football. Rob Pick will also remember Barnsley being in the Premier League, a lot in the Championship, now dipped into League One. And Dan Locke, who's on the other side of the pond, He's obviously a Bristol Rovers fan as well. If there's anybody else, I'd be really keen if we've got someone else who supports a League One or a League Two team. If they want to get involved, I'm happy to have one more come on. Just drop me a DM or jump in the EFL Slack channel. But I want to have an open conversation with the guys about, like, what are your concerns within, not specifically to your club, but football within the EFL, and this is part of it. This is going to be huge, completely game-changing, and it is going to happen. Nothing's going to stop this in the EFL. The Premier League might be a little bit harder to push through because there'll be a bit of pushback. They have to get the distribution of the money right, or it'll fuck it.
Fair play. Patrons, hope you enjoyed this podcast. Back at you tomorrow with Tottenham and quiz on Thursday. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.